Chapter 36.
In the end, Lando suggested a compromise and arranged to replace the Falcon's missing cockpit with a customized replica. For Han, it still had the same seating arrangement and control configuration that had come to feel like an extension of his own body. For Leia, the yokes were mounted on telescoping shafts, so she wouldn't need to hold her arms at shoulder height whenever she took the helm. And the slave throttles had been moved closer to the co-pilot station to accommodate her shorter reach. But the best features by far were the new seats. While they looked like the same basic models that had come stock on the old YT-1300, they were fitted with the latest in-crew comfort systems, body-molding flow foam, built-in heaters and massagers, integrated pilot alertness sensors that shook, buzzed, or even shocked at the first sign of slackening posture. In short, a pilot could spend an entire duty shift behind the yoke without growing sore or inattentive. And Han was beginning to think that that was a very good thing. The Falcon was sitting on the flight deck of the Super Star Destroyer Megador's executive hangar, looking out upon an entire brigade of void jumpers in full dress uniform. They'd been standing at parade rest for an hour, and judging by the alternating bursts of tense murmurings and nervous laughter rolling up the access corridor, they were going to be standing there for another hour. Han shrugged and tried not to feel guilty. The elite honor guard had been Gavin Darklighter's idea. A farewell salute and thank you gift for all the Solos had done for the cause of galactic freedom over the last 5 decades. It was also a subtle reminder that just because the Solo family would be living in another part of the galaxy, they still had friends in the Galactic Alliance, and Coruscant would always be their home. But Han had reasons of his own for wishing Leia would speed things up back there. First, it had been a long time since he had decked himself out in high boots and full first-class blood stripes, and he had forgotten how hot and itchy his formal pants got when he sat around waiting too long. Second, his wife and daughter weren't the only ones who were nervous, and the longer they took getting ready, the more likely it became that he would need to change his shirt. And a lot of people were waiting on them. That always made Han edgy. A flight of stealth X's flashed past the hangar mouth, their cruciform profiles silhouetted against Coruscant's pearly brightness for only an instant before they broke formation. They peeled off in 10 different directions, moving so fast that Han would not have been able to count their number had he not already known who they were. The 10 Knights, heading out to find the Mortis Monolith and the Force-imbued dagger that had killed the Ones. It was a lonely mission that Han did not envy the young Jedi. What little they knew about the Monolith was the stuff of legend, and if Luke was right about Abeloth continuing to linger in the Force, one day the future of the galaxy would hang on their success. Once the last starfighter had vanished from sight, Han wished them a heavy dose of his Corellian luck, then tried to sneak a peek at the control panel chrono. Of course, Alana caught him.
Just be patient, Grandpa.
Dressed in an elegant white gown and wearing a gem-studded tiara in her golden red hair, she looked like the beautiful young princess she was.
They can't start without us, you know.
I know.
Han turned to face his granddaughter.
Alana, are you going to be okay with this? I mean, everyone knowing who you really are?